Welcome to Clifton Health On Air.
I'm your host, Danielle.
And I'm your co-host, Lauren.
And we are a local health department podcast here in Clifton, New Jersey.
We are located 12 miles west of New York City.
And we also service the township of Little Falls.
Welcome.
Welcome to Clifton Health On Air. I'm your host, Danielle.
And I'm your co-host, Lauren. And with us today is Cameron Convertino, retail registered dietitian of the ShopRite of Wayne. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And also today we have Crystal, one of our local health outreach coordinators.
Welcome, ladies. And we're so excited because today we're talking all about my favorite subject, nutrition. And it is National Nutrition Month. And so I'm so excited that we do have Cameron here just to discuss nutrition and exactly what we can do to keep ourselves healthy. Just give us an explanation of your role in your day-to-day.
I work at the ShopRite of Wayne, and I work with a team of 11 other dietitians who are all located in other ShopRites all of, throughout New Jersey and New York. And so my day-to-day is very different. It's a variety of different things. So I do one-on-one consults. I do store tours, presentations, just general nutrition education, and like kids classes, senior classes. It's a wide range of different things.
Awesome. And that's so great. I know we had a previous dietitian on our podcast, but we're so happy that you're able to be our guests for today. And specifically, what population do you work with?
So I work mainly with the Wayne population, and it's very diverse. We have a lot of different cultures in Wayne. So I see many different people, and it could be a wide range of medical issues as well. So I see a wide range of people with diabetes, celiac disease, pregnant women. It's very, very different.
And so we're just going to touch base on some food guideline recommendations. So can you walk us through what a one-on-one consult would be?
Okay, so typically a one-on-one consult, the first time, the initial consult, it usually lasts around 45 minutes to an hour, and I'll do a quick interview to get to know the person and see their whole lifestyle, what food choices they are making, any medical history, just the anthropometrics like their BMI, their weight, their height, and just getting a big picture so that it's easier to counsel and get to know the person. Awesome. I like working with people and seeing where they're at instead of changing their whole lifestyle.
That's so important. Yeah, that's really important. And so have you had a really good repertoire with your clients?
I have a few consults that are continuing consults. I see them every month.
Okay.
And that's great. They're following my advice. Sometimes we talk about things that they aren't following and why they aren't following it. So I could come up with other solutions for them that will help them follow the advice. Mm-hmm. I've had people I've seen only once and some no-shows, but that happens in any profession,
right.
I feel.
Absolutely.
I also had a client walk past my office the other day, and he stated that he went to the doctor and his A1C went down. So now is in the pre-diabetes range. So. Yeah, so there's so many great things that come from it.
Wonderful, great stories.
Yeah.
And so why is it important to see a dietitian?
I think it's important because there's a lot of misinformation that we see all over social media.
Yeah.
I have a lot of people telling me that they can't eat a certain food because social media says so or other resources.
How do you deal with that?
So it's so hard because I don't know everything that's out there. I just had someone ask me about chia seed water, and I've never heard of people drinking chia seed water in the morning. So I could tell them that, well, there are benefits to eating chia seeds. Like, it contains fiber, has omega-3 fatty acids, but I feel like a lot of those trends aren't heavily researched.
Mm.
So I can only tell them what I know and what the research says, but otherwise, I feel like a lot of those trends aren't necessarily, like, they don't need to be a part of your everyday routine.
Right.
So it depends on the certain
Yeah.
Trend.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like people tend to look for quick fixes, and that's where they rely on these kind of trends. Yep. But yeah, it's like you said, they're not always backed by science, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. Definitely have to go to a professional and get the research before, you know, believing everything on the internet.
Exactly.
So
for sure.
That's good that you can. I'm really surprised that a lot of people are like, oh, social media told me I shouldn't eat this.
There's other resources like health coaches and nutritionists, which are completely different from dietitians.
Ooh, can you explain?
Yeah, so dietitians have to go through a long direction of education. So it's 4 years of an undergrad and then 1 to 2 years of a master's, which is now required.
Okay.
Yep. Wow. And then we have to do a 1,200-hour internship, and then we have to take an exam. And once we pass the exam, we could become a dietitian. Wow. Whereas nutritionists, they don't have any formal training. Anyone can call themselves a nutritionist.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And you also brought up some of the challenges that people might be facing, which stops them from, you know, following your advice, even if they are coming to you for those one-on-one consults. So what are usually the things that are kind of holding them back from making those changes?
I think it's just an overall lifestyle change. I try to do very gradual changes. So we'll make, let's say, like 3 goals, and let's stick with 3 goals that is achievable for you. And sometimes people, it's more of a, I feel like, a psychological thing. Mm-hmm. They want to do what they're used to. It's like a habit. Mm-hmm. So if I make a goal, like, let's go for a 10-minute walk every day. Mm-hmm. It's like, how could we find ways to incorporate that in your everyday life? So we'll find solutions, and then it's like up to them whether they want to stick to it or not. And then we'll like talk from there and mm-hmm. see what other directions we could take.
Yeah, it's difficult to change your ways.
Yeah.
But so important, of course.
Yeah, that's why it's important to just make small, sustainable changes.
Mm. Awesome. Can you just touch upon small, sustainable changes, especially with certain communities that are of lower income or have a tough time buying certain fresh fruits or vegetables?
Okay, so that's great. So fresh fruits and vegetables, although they are a great source of nutrients, we do promote frozen and canned vegetables as well. Okay. They tend to be cheaper. They last longer. Our job as a dietitian is to focus on helping people read nutrition labels and finding what are better sources of food that are within budget range. So for frozen foods, making sure there's no like added sugars. For canned food, making sure you buy like either low salt or no salt added canned goods. And if you have to buy a canned good that has added salt, then making sure they rinse out their fruit and vegetable before eating it. So finding changes like that could really help and help a community stay within their budget.
I feel like that's something a lot of people have to wrap their head around, because they usually are like, I can't afford this, but I'm going to go and purchase possibly a canned item that has high sodium. So they can still look for the option of better, healthier food, canned items.
Yep.
Okay. And how do you view food alternatives in certain food fad diets?
So fad diets are always going to be around, and some diets work for people, some don't. I'm all about like all foods fit. So we talk about as dietitians, what could we add to your diet rather than get rid of? So diets like keto diets kind of focus on high fat, high protein, and not enough carbs. And there's, you know, there's so many other different diets, and my job is really just to help people create a balanced plate rather than finding other solutions that are like quick fixes or getting rid of a huge food group. 'Cause one of the misconceptions is that carbohydrates are bad, and we need carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. It's your body's main source of energy. So I feel like educating people on each of the food groups is super important as a dietitian, and making sure that everybody has a balanced plate.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What would a balanced plate look like?
So we usually show my plate, and that's another part of my counseling session that I do with customers and clients. I usually show them a picture of a plate, and usually 1/4 of the plate is protein. So like your meat, your fish, your beans, your lentils, and then another 1/4 of the plate is your whole grains and your carbohydrates. So your rice, your pasta, your bread, and then half of your plate should consist of fruits and vegetables. And then a little tablespoon of a fat source.
A healthy fat source? Like, what would that look like?
So a fat source could be, a healthy fat source could be avocado, olive oil, salmon. So those are just some healthy fats.
And how could people from different cultures maybe, how have you adapted that to them? Because I know you said all foods kind of fit. So are there any, let's say, different foods that you might not think are actually part of this plate, but that are, or how they work around it, or maybe some different cultures that are lacking tend to lack or tend to overcompensate in certain parts of the plate?
Right. Yeah, so one of my challenges, I would say, is trying to adapt to different cultures. I'm trying to learn more and more about different cultures and how they eat. So my plate actually has a great source of pictures that shows wide ranges of different cultures and what a plate would look like for them. And like I said before, it's all about adding things to your plate rather than getting rid of something. Okay. So I feel like instead of changing their whole, let's say, dinner, it's like maybe let's add a little bit more of a vegetable to it. And it's really, at the end of the day, it's all about portion sizes. So I don't want to get rid of someone's traditional food. So it's all about making sure it's a balanced meal.
Okay. And you mentioned, so what's the, is that a website that they can go to, the MyPlate?
Yeah, it's just myplate.gov.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you. And we'll make sure to put that in the, that link in the bio of this podcast. And just to touch upon MyPlate, are there any like bad eating practices that people should avoid?
So one thing I feel when people are trying to like lose weight specifically, they either skip meals or they'll completely avoid meals. They'll like intermittent fast. I would say that's a bad practice because it could lead into a really restrictive diet where you don't get the nutrients you need. And so the main thing is to have like small frequent meals, like making sure you're having your breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and at least 2 snacks throughout the day. So that could be a really bad practice, is skipping meals. And then it eventually could lead to binge eating or overeating at the end of the day.
Have you ever dealt with someone coming in for any of those like binge eating, overeating, or having a struggling time with anorexia or something like that, another food disorder?
Yes, I have. And the reason why I became a dietitian was because I had a huge interest in eating disorders. So I hope to get like more credentialed as an eating disorder dietitian. Okay. But right now, when if I have a struggling case, the dietitian world is a small world. So we all know each other. So it's almost like reaching out to other colleagues who might have more information, or just referring the client to another dietitian if needed. So I actually had to do this the other day. I had parents come in for their child who has autism, and I am not a pediatric dietitian. I know only so much. Okay. So I had to reach out to other colleagues who have information on like other ways and tricks that we could add vegetables to the food. So there's instances like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. No, that's really great. Cause, sometimes that is what people are struggling with, an eating disorder or some form of, something with their child or something like that.
I've also, you mentioned a little earlier about, the importance of not skipping meals. And I've heard that, something about hunger cues. I've heard something vaguely about how it's important to make sure you don't throw off your hunger cues, but I don't really know what that means. Would you be able to enlighten us?
So when fasting, our body goes through so many different changes. So our when you're skipping meals, your body goes through so many different changes, where after a point, if you haven't eaten all day, your hunger cues, like your rumbling of your stomach or like the feeling of thirst or hunger, it kind of diminishes after you fast or skip a meal for a while. So like the hunger cues are like listening to like what your body's saying. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? So I feel like when you skip meals, it could throw off your hunger cues. So I actually am fasting this Ramadan. So I've noticed within myself what my body is going through while fasting throughout the day. And I could tell I'm so hungry in the morning, and then it kind of diminishes throughout the day. So it's so interesting to see like how your body reacts when you're either skipping meals or fasting.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So that was really interesting. And I know that intermittent fasting is really important to some specific people.
So it usually just restricts your time of eating, which isn't terrible, but at the end of the day, it's just like you're eating less. So you're most likely going to lose weight because you are eating less throughout the day. Honestly, like I'm not against intermittent fasting, but it could get tricky because like we mentioned earlier with like eating disorders, that could lead to a disordered eating habit. So I rather just stick with like the approach of having meals throughout the day, whether it's smaller meals or bigger snacks, you know.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. And I just want to touch upon how do community residents or families help their kids who are picky eaters or do not like any form of vegetables, and most of their plate will look like chicken fingers and fries.
Right. So going back to the client that I had a few weeks ago, we talked about little tips, like adding vegetables to, so this one kid, he ate pizza. So I'm like, let's try to add vegetables in a sauce and blend it into the sauce and then put it back on the pizza and see how they react to that. Or I believe they were also having smoothies. So adding more nutrient dense items into the smoothie, like chia seeds, flax seeds, yogurt, just adding more into the smoothie to make the meal more nutrient dense. And then also just trying like the exposure therapy. So introducing maybe one vegetable for the week. So every meal, introduce like broccoli. And I feel like as the child sees it more, they're more likely to try it. So it's all about patience when it comes to that.
Awesome.
And I also heard that as people grow older, their taste buds change as well. So let's say, for example, if a child shows strong aversion to broccoli, right? Then it's okay to reintroduce it at a later time as well. The same vegetable, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So that can be really motivational for parents that are maybe frustrated because right now they're not liking anything.
Right.
But maybe next year you can try again.
Right. That's very true.
So parents out there, don't lose hope. There's always some form of small practices. And so I know you're new to the Clifton community and Little Falls community, but I just want to see how so far have you worked with the Clifton Health Department?
I did a table event and then the senior citizen heart health presentation.
Yes. Awesome. Yep. And so you're at our Botany satellite office, and we're hoping that when it gets warmer, we'll have a little bit more foot traffic and we can get you out there and have wonderful basically office hours for just to stop in and see Cameron if you have any questions. And then another question I have would be, what are some tips for people to prevent illnesses such as diabetes? I know we talked about eating disorders, or just some tips for people to prevent illnesses.
So I would just say eating a balanced diet. And like I mentioned, that would be like a protein source, a carbohydrate source, specifically carbohydrates that are like whole grain that has more fiber in it, a healthy fat source, and just overall like making sure you're eating throughout the day, With diabetes, it's all about like portion control and fiber intake. So I think that's one thing a lot of people are lacking is fiber. Mm-hmm. And fiber is found in our fruits, vegetables, whole grains. And I feel like adding that to the diet is super important and could prevent a lot of medical issues. So
You also mentioned that some of the populations that you work with include pregnant individuals or people with some of these illnesses that we just talked about preventing. But I wonder how their plates might look different.
So the MyPlate is a general guideline. So depending on your weight, your like medical issue, like a diabetes, you'll have a little bit less carbohydrates. It depends on the individual. So everybody's plate does look different. That's just the general guideline and the main food groups you want to focus when eating a balanced plate. So the portion sizes could be a little bit different.
So all members of the food group aren't created equally, or are they?
No. So every food group has a different function. So like your protein helps your cells grow and helps muscle growth. It has many other functions. Carbohydrates is for energy, and your fats are to help absorb your vitamins, like your fat-soluble vitamins like A, D, E, and K.
Okay.
So all of the food groups have a essential part in everyone's diet. It does do something for your body. So that's why these fad diets are not okay sometimes, because it says like, let's get rid of carbohydrates or let's get rid of fat, but it's like your body needs those food sources.
Right. How would someone, if they wanted to incorporate more fruits or vegetables, how do you feel about those items where it's like dried fruits or chips such as kale chips to increase their vegetable intake? Do they have the same nutrition value?
So I would focus more on whole fruits. It does have more fiber to it, whereas the skin has more fiber. Okay. So I would stick more to the whole fruit. But dried fruits could play a role in your diet. It could add a little bit of the nutrients that regular fruits provide. However, I would just make sure to be cautious of the added sugar in products, because a fruit is just natural sugar, whereas some dried fruit may have added sugars. So just to be mindful of the added sugar.
Right. And I know you talked about that you briefly work with reading the labels. So why is it so important to read the labels? And why do people get tripped up usually with everything that's on a food label?
Yeah, it can be really confusing sometimes because you have to look at the serving size.
Okay.
So if the serving size says 1 cup, the whole label is based off the 1 cup, not the whole product.
Got it.
So the main things to look at on a food label, I would say, are like the calories, the sodium, the added sugar, the total carbs. And that's basically it, depending on your goals. But it could be very confusing. So I usually like to break down the label one by one.
Okay.
For
the what would that client. Look like?
So I would talk about, okay, let's talk about sodium. So if they have like a heart disease or just a general population, we should lower our sodium intake. A low sodium intake would be under 140 milligrams. So checking for products that have less than 140 milligrams of sodium. For, let's say, fat, I would focus more on the unsaturated fat versus the saturated fat. Saturated fat tend to be linked, it's linked to many health conditions.
Okay.
So we'll go over like fat sources and then carbohydrates. So under the total carbs is included fiber and sugar. Mm. So breaking down what total carbs looks like. And then protein intake, which it's always good to have a little bit of protein in your food. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
It sounds confusing.
It sounds confusing.
I was just curious if all protein is just as beneficial for you. So I'm just thinking about people that might be vegetarian or vegan. So leaning more on maybe lentils and that kind of protein versus meats.
Yeah, so plant sources of protein are great options because not only does it contain protein, it also has fiber and other nutrients that you might not get from meat sources. So It does sound, it's a little tricky to get protein in when you are vegan or vegetarian, but there are ways. And there's so many different food alternatives now, mm-hmm. which are adding more and more protein to meals and mm-hmm. products. So it is definitely achievable to reach your protein goal as a vegan or a vegetarian. It's just finding those plant sources that have the protein content.
And then I guess right along those lines, thinking about whole milk versus or cow's milk in comparison to oat milk.
Yeah, so that also just depends on your preference and your diet. So if you are a vegan, you'll probably lean towards the almond or oat milk. Whole milk does have more fat in it, so it's good to get like a 1% or a 2% milk. It has less of the saturated fat. But overall, it's up to the individual's preference and how often they're drinking the milk.
Mm. Yeah, I was thinking about, like, because I know when we were younger, we were really hammered in the idea of the importance of a cup of milk every day.
For children, it is important to drink some type of milk because it helps. It has calcium, and calcium helps with bone and development growth, so it is essential for kids. But as you get older, you don't necessarily need milk as much. My approach is like food first and then supplements. Okay. So
let's talk about the supplements. Exactly. Yeah.
So if you can get whole food sources, that's definitely a lot better for your body versus supplements because, you know, supplements aren't FDA approved. So some supplements, it could be a little like tricky. So making sure they're like third party tested is always a great option. But that's also dependent on the individual, what they need, like based on their medical issues or just lifestyle.
Okay.
So the one vitamin I always take is vitamin D. It's hard to get vitamin D, especially during the winter times. And then just a general multivitamin. But if you're eating a balanced diet, you should be getting your your vitamins through food sources.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And if I know that we had a really cold winter and a lot of people were sick, so is there some form of nutrients or anything that we can prevent ourselves from getting sick or getting cold during possibly flu season or cold season in general?
Yeah, so vitamin C has been shown to help with preventing sickness. I don't know how much it could prevent it, but like having your citrus fruits, zinc is a good nutrient as well. And then just, you know, staying hydrated, drinking tea, and hydration is also super important in general for an everyday, every season.
Is hydrating with water or soda better for everyone?
Water. I almost said soda.
So hydration for sure, but definitely water. And for those who don't like water, what should they pick up?
So there's actually so many different products nowadays. There's something called Hint Water, which has a little bit of hint of flavor to it. So if you need that little flavor touch to water, then that's a great option. Okay. Tea, just diluting your juice, let's say, to add a little bit more water. And there are so many other like functional sodas out there now. There are a lot of like fiber sodas. I don't know if you've heard of like Olipop or Poppy.
Oh, yeah.
So those are more like functional sodas. So there's less sugar and fiber added. So those are great options too. But, you know, water is always first with hydration.
Absolutely. I can sit here and talk about prebiotic, probiotic. What does that all mean? And I think that we'll definitely be longer than this episode and probably a conversation for another time. But is there anything else you would like to say to our residents?
Yeah. So I just want to say we mentioned it's Nutrition Month and every year there's a new theme. And this year's theme is Food Connects Us. And that can be interpreted in so many different ways. It could be food connects us through culture. Food connects us, like how does your food connect to your body? And just general like family style meals. So I'm actually doing a cooking class at the ShopRite of Wayne. We're going to be making, me and the Ramsay Dietitian, we're going to be making culturally diverse meals. And we're going to see how that goes.
That sounds really good. Yeah. What's on the menu?
So far, we have like a Lebanese salad, an Indian butter chicken, and I think Mexican flan, and a Moroccan mint tea. So far, that's what we're deciding.
That sounds really good.
Yeah. So normally our services are completely free, but with cooking classes, there's usually a little charge to it. So it will be like a $20 fee. But everybody gets at least one plate of each of the meal.
Oh, so, that's awesome. Yeah. That's really wonderful. Yeah. So Food Connects, can you just explain, is there a connection with what you eat and how you feel? Or is that just another social media post?
No, I definitely think there's truth behind what you eat is could lead to how you feel. If you just think about like eating, let's say McDonald's, I usually tend to not feel the best after eating fried food. Mm-hmm. So I think when you're eating like that whole food, you tend to feel better and your energy levels start to increase. And so I think there's definitely a connection between food and your overall lifestyle and well-being.
And Food Connects talked about family style meals. Why is family style meals so important?
Well, I feel like, you know, food, the way you, I guess family style meals are important because it brings you and your family together. I feel like nowadays it's so hard to have a family styled meal because we're all working, we're all on the run. So I feel like having a big meal with your family is a great way to just bond. Like food does connect us through social events and just overall our like family. So right. I feel like it's important to, you know, take the time to have a meal with your family. Absolutely. You know, we do it for most holidays. Yeah. So I feel like we could celebrate Nutrition Month by having a meal with our family.
Right. Yeah. It sounds simple, but sometimes it can be difficult for families out there, but it is just kind of...
Or your friends.
Or your friends. Yeah, friends too. Chosen family. Yeah. Hey. You can take some time to make, you know, meals. I know there's different dietary needs in different friend groups or family, but also having that opportunity to share it at the dinner table is really great.
Yeah.
So that's really great that they are focusing on this month.
Yeah.
And so.
And then even cooking with your family, that could always bring people closer and trying different things.
That's awesome. Yeah. For how would someone cook with a small child or cook with their children?
So a lot of the kids classes that I host in the store or at library centers, it actually teaches, we do a lot of like snack classes with kids. So we do a lot of veggies and fruit snacks, like not actual fruit snacks, but fruit type snacks. And I feel like when kids get involved with making their own snack or meal, they're more likely to try it. So having them, there's a lot of kids safety knives. So like having them maybe like cut up a fruit or a vegetable, having them help you like stir a pot or pick which meal they want to cook. So having kids involved in the kitchen could really get them to try new things.
Awesome. That's another way to get a picky kid.
Exactly.
to try something new. Awesome. Great tips. And that's wonderful. And we'll be sure to encourage those family tips and Families Connect. Is there any resources that any of our residents can take a look at if they have any questions?
Yeah. So for general nutrition, the USDA has great handouts. And then MyPlateGov, like we talked about, you know, like Today's Dietitian has great sources, but that's more for, you know, like science-y part of like fad diets and stuff like that. And then to reach out to me, I am located at the ShopRite of Wayne, so I do have a flyer there. I have a copy of my flyer as well that I could share with you.
Oh yeah, that would be awesome. We'll put it in the bio.
Yeah, and it has my email and phone number.
And if you want to reach out to us at Clifton Health on Air, you can always email us a question and we can get that question over to Cameron too. We can connect you with her.
We also talked about people that were low income and might be struggling with being able to afford these types of healthy, nutritious meals. So feel free to reach out to the health department if you want to be connected with resources pertaining to food assistance as well.
Absolutely. And Cameron, you stated that your counseling is free for anyone?
Yep.
At ShopRite?
Yeah, the services are completely free minus the occasional fee with cooking classes.
Got it. Perfect. So we'll definitely connect anyone who needs food assistance there as well. Well, thank you so much, Cameron, for being on Clifton Health on Air. We do hope to have you on again.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks, Crystal.
Of course.
Have a wonderful day, everyone. Lauren, take us out.
Don't forget to tune into our podcast every other week for a new episode. You may visit our website at www.cliftonnj.org. Follow us on social media. We are on Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Clifton Health. If you have any questions, you can email us at health@cliftonnj.org. And before we leave today, let us ask ourselves, did you make a difference in someone's life today?